Looking
Number
forward to
one.
that Independence Bowl bid there, eh, Mike?
I think we might be going to the Music City now.
Ah!
We may get we might get Music City.
Nashville,
I
man.
I would prefer to go to Shreveport instead of Nashville. There's gambling there.
Nashville's better than Shreveport.
That's true. Yeah. Nashville's actually a really fun town. So.
Although y'all are about to play Illinois tonight, so.
I won't watch. You might watch more than me.
Not going to watch the Big Ten ACC Challenge?
I may watch the DVR football game at this point. I'm not ready for it to be over, not even close.
I grew up in Maryland, so we're going to have a terrible year. So it'll be yet another year in which Jerry Williams somehow takes marginal talent to the first round of the NCAA tournament. Looking forward to nine.
You can't recruit.
9-7 again. That's the Maryland way. He hasn't pulled in a big recruit in a long time, but actually, I like Gary. It was fun.
Nobody sweats like Gary Williams.
God, that is a great. He is the greatest sweater in the world. It's just outstanding. Probably downs like a fifth of bourbon before every game.
I'm sure he does.
Speaking of fifths of whiskey, and people in Louisiana will appreciate this. I'm going to work at the store two Sundays ago when the last home game the Saints played. Who was that, against Seattle? And I'm walking in the store that morning, and walking ahead of me is Hoki Gajon. And for Michael, who probably doesn't know, Hoki Gajon used to play for LSU, played for the Saints. He does the color commentary on the Saints broadcast, the Saints radio broadcast. Mm-hmm. And I see him walk into the store, and I see him go down the aisle. I see him come back up. He's got a half gallon of Jack Daniels. I was like, isn't he going on the air a little later today? So I asked my store manager. I said, is this common for him to come in on Sunday morning and do this? I mean, I get hammered when we do our streaming live things on Saturday mornings at LSU, but I don't get paid, So I mean, I guess it's okay. I was like, okay, that's cool. That's pretty good. Then I saw him again yesterday afternoon, with another half gallon of Jack, and he does the point after show with Bobby Abel on Mondays. So, that way it's common for him to hit a half gallon of Jack before he gets on the air all the time. So.
I think the only way to understand Bobby Hebert is actually to have a half gallon of Jack Daniels.
Hebert, it's probably for Hebert. He's always drunk.
Yeah. He's drunk with knowledge.
Yes, he is.
and his son single-handedly saved us against Tennessee, so whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can live on that.
All right, I guess podcast is waiting for me to start now. In partnership with Anna Valley Shook.com, it's the Go Show, your original LSU podcast. Coming to you on a Tuesday night, November 30th, last day of November, and coincidentally, last day of hurricane season, as we are getting ready to get into the official start of winter. I am your host, Kerry Muntz. And as I stated, this is the Go Show, part of Anna Valley Shook.com, the number one LSU sports blog out there. Ways to get in touch with the show or with the website. You can visit the blog site, which is part of SB Nation. You go to And the Valley Shook. It's andthevalleyshook.com. You can email the Go Show itself at goshow@gmail.com. It's GEAUXSHOW@gmail.com. Also, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to us there for free and download us to your iPod. Also, go to Facebook and become our friend there. So and if you want to listen to show archives, on the homepage of Anna Valley Shook is the little yellow pod track player. Pulls up all the archives of all the shows we've done over the past 5 years. So that is how you get in touch with us. LSU coming off a very, very disappointing 31-23 loss at the hands of Arkansas in Little Rock, Arkansas, at War Memorial Stadium on Saturday afternoon. We're going to talk about that today. I have a full roundtable of people to talk today. We have Foles are back for the first time in a long time. How you doing, man?
Doing pretty good. I'm up and walking, so back surgery, I think, worked this time. So back at work trying to, you know, get around a little bit. I'm actually mobile. Doing pretty good.
That's good. And always 25 miles to my west, Patrick Morris in Ponchatoula, Louisiana.
No, that, the mileage changes every time. You went from 20 to 25. Am I moving further away?
Well, that's our plan.
The road's further down from, I don't know. I always say 25 miles. Go back and listen.
I think you say 20, but okay, that's all right.
It's 25. It's from mile marker to mile marker on the interstate, it's roughly 25. So
works for me.
If you want me to take another shot at you, I drive to you more than y'all ever drive to me. So, you know, whatever. So, okay, and now also with us, an old guest from way back, it felt so long ago, but it was only in September. It was only 2.5 months ago, or actually going on 3 months ago, from InTheBleachers.net, Michael Felder. How you doing, Mike?
I'm just glad to be back, man. Hey, look, I don't know if it's 20 or 25, but I'm going to take your word for it.
You might want to do that. Pat doesn't know. He don't know what he's talking about.
Look at him suck up to the host. That's just.
Hey, get that man some jack.
Yeah.
He needs it.
Yeah. He knows who dishes out the bonus jacks here. It's me. So, I don't know if I introduced myself, but I am Kerry Muntz in the saddle trying to moderate this gig. This is what Bobcat throws on to me on a Tuesday night after the last game of the season. Oh, here you go. Here's a call-in show with three guests today instead of it's been me and Pat just by ourselves for the last few weeks with Poser being on the show. So I got my work cut out for me, but I'm going to moderate this thing as best I can. So let's kick things right off and get to the task at hand and talk about this Arkansas game. Words can't really describe how aggravated and PO'd and just disappointed I am in the performance LSU showed on Saturday. They had, you know, so much to play for, you know, despite Auburn, you know, coming back and beating Alabama, which, you know, then it turns out that Boise ends up losing late that night. And, you know, while I don't think LSU really ever deserved to be in the national title game, things were starting to kind of fall into place a little bit, you know, had Auburn lost. But it would have remained to be seen had all that happened if LSU would have jumped TCU. Had they beat Arkansas, but regardless, a win against Arkansas pretty much, you know, would guarantee them at a large bid at a BCS bowl. You know, and at Auburn, you know, if Auburn would win out, you know, you're looking at pretty much a 99.9% chance LSU would be going to the Sugar Bowl. And we all know the BCS, you know, payout is much more significant than it is a Cotton Bowl or a Capital One Bowl. So, The performance there was just very disappointing. You know, offensively, it was just they just couldn't get out of their own way. It was just too many boneheaded mistakes. Offensive line could not protect Jordan Jefferson. It was basically almost like the Auburn game, except for we just had more self-inflicted wounds in this game than we did. Where Auburn just outplayed us, we beat ourselves in every way, shape, or form. So, I'll start off with you, Poser. What were your thoughts on Saturday? And you know,
I do think it was different than the Auburn game. I think Auburn just straight up beat us. In every way that a team can beat someone, Auburn just came out and just flat out beat LSU. The Arkansas game was a lot more just self-inflicted wounds. This was a really disappointing game. What's really disappointing is that LSU really held Arkansas in check except for a few big plays. And also those big plays came at really bad times. I mean, there's never a good time to let up a big play. But the first 80-yard touchdown pass, I think it was 3rd and 8. The 50-yard touchdown pass, it was 4th and 3.
Yep.
And also at a point when if you just get the stop, LSU's going to get the ball at midfield with only down by a few points. And that completely changed the game. And, of course, the 80-yard touchdown pass was 6 seconds left in the half. I still can't even rationally talk about that play. That was really disappointing just because – for most of the game, LSU really held the Arkansas offense in check. It was just these massive, big plays, and you just can't give up that many big plays and expect to win. And the other thing that really hurt about this game is one of the things we've said all year about this team is that they play with such emotion. This team has really rallied around Les Miles. They've rallied around each other. They've really had a bunker mentality. an us against the world kind of thing. And it's been fun to watch this team for that reason. They've always played hard. The one thing you can say about Les Miles' teams is that they play hard. And against Arkansas, they were flat. They did not play hard. And that is the one thing. That's the one thing I never thought I would see out of a Les Miles team. This was easily the worst game of the year for the Tigers. They just came out flat. They deserve to get beat. They beat themselves.
Yeah, I agree with you. Basically, everything you said. Patrick, you and I texted throughout the entire game and then talked afterwards. We talked about was just how, offensively we couldn't get out of our own way. The game plan was terrible. And just defensively, it just looked like the defense just kind of hit a wall at some point. The defense can only do so much, and, injuries start to accumulate, and, the defense eventually starts to wear down when they're on the field, majority of the time when your offense can't sustain drives. So what to speak to that a little bit, Pat.
Well, I just have to say that, let me say before I even start, I hate the Arkansas game with a passion. If we never played Arkansas again, it would be too soon. It's just a suck game after Thanksgiving that nobody at LSU really cares about, and it shows in the team. The fans don't care. They don't want to play the game. Nobody wants to play this game. But, let's just say defense hit a wall, but you could definitely tell that we were, having some – the injuries mounted up in the secondary because Cornell Hatcher is not a safety. He should not be playing safety. He cannot see an angle to save his life. I hate to see him play in pool because he probably misses the whole ball every time he shoots. It was just bad. Mentally, they were not in the game. Offensively, the scheme sucked. It was just altogether, they just were not there. They did not want to be there, and you could tell they didn't want to be there.
We could have a whole segment to Cornell Hatcher. What a terrible game for a player to have.
Yeah, he was flat out. The first touchdown pass, like Patrick said, a poor angle. And then on top of it, once he realized he couldn't, there was no chance of him getting to the ball, he just basically just took himself out of the play. Didn't even try to knock the guy out of bounds, discharged ball from player. And on the touchdown pass at the end of the half, he took out his own player and whiffed on a tackle. He whiffed. What's a good comparison? Adam Dunn. Adam Dunn is either home run or whiff. I've never seen somebody whiff on a tackle as bad as he whiffed on a tackle.
Process. On that first one, it was third and eight. What are you doing trying to jump the route? Just play the down marker. What a terrible decision. Even if he makes that play, somehow jumps the route and tips the ball down, it's idiotic because there's no one to save his bacon, as was shown as soon as the receiver caught the ball and ran 80 yards. It was a terrible decision, terrible execution. What a terrible game that guy had. I feel bad to pick on him, but I can't believe he saw the field after that play.
Yeah, well,
he
wear
glasses
really...
or something because he could not see. It seemed like everything he was doing, he was looking for he should have aimed for the one in the middle. Not the one on the left or the one on the right, because he just kept missing.
Hit the one in the middle, Rock. So at least he didn't go on the Twitter and blame God.
That's good. Though, as much as we're knocking a lot of the players, for not showing up and not playing with intensity, one guy who did show up was Ridley. Both of his touchdowns were unbelievable runs. Those were complete effort runs. Ridley is, he is a man amongst boys at times. When he decides he's going to score – or he's going to get a first down, there is no stopping him. It's just a pleasure to watch that guy run it in short distances. He just runs over people.
Yeah, he does. And single-handedly scored, two touchdowns? The little option, I think it was the first touchdown. He should have been stopped at the five.
Yeah, both those plays, I think he would hit the five on both of his touchdown runs, and he just trucked the defender, just carried him over the over the line. It was great runs. I don't think everybody didn't show up, but if you're kind of thinking about one guy for having a great game in the middle of the Arkansas game, certainly Stephen Ridley. I can't say enough good things about him.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. With all the big plays we gave up on defense, if first two drives of the third quarter is where we lost the game. If we just put one of those, you know, one of those drives into the end zone instead of just kicking two field goals,
it's
a completely different game at the end.
And I don't know why we weren't giving it to Ridley in those situations. We kind of got cute. And, well, I know why we got cute, because Gary Croton is our offensive coordinator.
Right.
But even then, LSU still could have come back in the game if they make the 4th-and-3 stop, because that's right after they failed to score, that's when the touchdown pass happened.
Right,
and,
yeah, that's right.
Yeah, when
you
know terribly,
we're going to lose, you get the ball inside the 9 and you can't score. You get the ball on the 9, your defense gives it to you and you can't score then. That's when you know it's not going to happen.
And also, when you outplay a team on the field, you have to beat them on the scoreboard as well. LSU severely outplayed Arkansas in the third quarter, except in the red zone. And that's what kills you. I mean, you can't outplay it. If you're going to outplay a team, you need to be getting points, because games can turn in a second, as we can see. And if you don't have points to show for outplaying someone, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, well, question. Let's bring in our outsider's opinion about the game. Mike, what did you from an outsider's point of view, just a casual fan watching this game, I mean, you pretty much agreeing with everything we're saying. Is there anything you'd like to add to this?
Yeah, and just as a guy that played a little bit of safety, that was awful. In that situation, the last thing you do is go for the kill shot. I mean, it was painful to watch. I was watching with a guy with an old teammate, and we both looked at each other going, what are you thinking?
I mean, and I hate to toot my own horn here, but I was saying all the beginning of the season that Brandon Taylor was the most improved LSU player on defense, and I think we were right, because since he went down, we've severely struggled as far as giving up big plays and things like that. I mean, that's unbelievable to say, considering the fact how poor he played last season. But we really missed Brandon Taylor back there. I mean,
Brandon Taylor had was a bit more. You hate to classify, but a bit more athletic ability than does Carnell Hatcher. So he could make up for some of the misgivings with his speed. Carnell Hatcher, I don't know if he thinks he has more speed to get to those plays than he does. You know, if he still thinks he's playing in high school where he could probably do that all the time. But this is SEC football, especially against Arkansas. He's got one hell of a passing game. I mean, like it or not, as much as I dislike Ryan Mallett and think he's a hothead, I think he's another Ryan Leaf, but, you know, I think Carnell Hatcher may think he's a little bit better than he is, and that definitely showed on Saturday.
And Mallett made the mistakes that we expected him to make. I mean, I think he threw two interceptions in that game. I mean, those 80-yard touchdown passes, I mean, you can't really take a whole lot of credit for them. I mean, they were such misplays. He didn't have a great night outside of those two plays, which were almost entirely because of LSU stupidity. Mallett, I mean, he's a good quarterback. He's got a strong arm, but he makes terrible decisions as well. And I think you might be right on saying he might be the next Ryan Leaf. He doesn't strike me as a guy who makes good decisions in the pocket.
Yeah, well, they had a big old they had a segment on College Game Day that morning about his hot head. And I think last year in the LSU game, he did something that cost him 15 yards. He had an unsportsmanlike conduct late in that game. I don't remember it specifically, but I remember.
Well, he got excited after they scored a touchdown and started ranting and raving on the field and stuff like that.
He ended up getting an unsportsmanlike conduct penalty. So he had, like, in the off season, he worked with some guy to control his emotions. Some emotional therapist dude or something.
Since we've picked on Hatcher a whole lot, let's also pick on Lonergan. It's really bad if you notice the center, but he had two snaps that came at really bad times that, including late in the game, which killed really any comeback chances. I mean, we're talking about people who had terrible games. The offensive line had a bad game altogether, but Lonergan kind of stood out and, you know, went the extra mile to have an especially bad game.
Yeah, he did. Let's move off of this, because any more I talk about this, I'm just going to get one more mad. We'll probably bring it back full circle towards the end of the game, but it was just let's talk about now, let's include Mike a little bit more on this, and then let's talk about what this means as far as, you know, LSU's bowl picture. And and we found out today A&M, the Cotton Bowl already extended a bid to A&M, which they accepted to play in the Cotton Bowl. I thought they'd wait for to lose at a Big 12 championship game, but
I like that. I think that's great.
No, it's also I live in Dallas, and it's just a great decision for them. A&M has been hungry to go to a bowl for a long time. I mean, they've been to bowls, but they haven't been to a good bowl in a really long time. Their fans are fanatical. They're going to travel. They're going to spend a ton of money. And also, they won't get stuck with the loser of the Big 12 championship game, which is also played in Dallas. You know, it's going to be hard to get Nebraska fans to make two trips to Dallas back-to-back. So
that's true. I didn't think about that. I didn't think about that aspect of it. So what do y'all think LSU's heading for the Cotton? Is that?
I think they travel well.
I think it's the matchup everyone wants. I think LSU would rather play A&M than Michigan State. I think we'd rather play in Dallas than in the Citrus Bowl again, because I would never want to go into that stadium again.
That's a horrible stadium. That is a horrible stadium.
And honestly, LSU A&M, we should play A&M every year. I'm mad that this rivalry doesn't exist anymore. So it's a dream matchup. The Cotton Bowl wants it. Texas A&M wants it. LSU wants it. I see no reason for this not to happen. It's so rarely in sports that you actually get what you want.
Yeah.
If we're not going to go to the Sugar Bowl, I want to go to the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, I gotta agree. I mean, that's it's a very attractive bowl game now that it's played in Jerry's World, and you know, it's gonna generate a lot of media attention because of the stadium.
And it's on its own time slot. It's on January 7th. So I mean,
January
7th,
yeah.
Day. You know, so you're on your own there. You're not up against anything. You play in – it's basically the biggest bowl outside the BCS. So, I mean, it's spotlight bowl. I mean, I would – and on that A&M thing, I would trade Arkansas for A&M any day. I'd love A&M at the end of a season like that any day of the year. Let's trade them out for Arkansas.
Well, A&M's going to play Texas every year on Thanksgiving. I think, you know, we have to get in line on that one. But,
that's true.
Yeah, we should play A&M. It angers me that we're still – both schools are still holding grudges. I don't want to say who's at fault for this one. But we're still holding grudges for what happened in the early 90s. Let it go. This game needs to happen. The series needs to come back.
Yeah, I think Pat was more speaking about just trading Arkansas A&M in conference play, too.
Oh, I would do that, too.
Yeah.
I would do that in a second,
just swapping them out. Just sending Arkansas down to the Big 12 and taking A&M. So – well, let's get into some BCS talk here. We all kind of consensus is LSU. That's the game I want to. I didn't realize the game was not till January. January 7th.
Yeah,
January 7th.
Wow, I'm used to that game being at 10 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day.
Yeah,
I always used to call it the Hangover Bowl when they played Texas in 2002.
That's 11 in the morning. Yeah, that was always hard. 10 or whatever it was.
Yeah,
that was horrible.
Yeah,
so,
LSU can't play in the morning. I mean, that's unfair.
We can't play in Little Rock either, so that's neither here nor there. So let's get into it's BCS talk, and let's talk about some of the action over the weekend. Now, we don't have any LSU game to preview, so I guess we'll talk about championship weekend, and we'll do our picks and everything. By now, everybody knows what happened in Alabama. I mean, that was just – for Alabama to blow a 24-0 lead against Auburn, that's just unbelievable. But at the same time, give credit to Auburn for, you know, not laying down the rest of the game and showing some moxie and coming back and making some plays to keep themselves in the game. You know, first of all, they get a break with Trent Richardson. First of all, the first break was on that long catch and run by Mark Ingram where they the guy strips the ball and it goes out of the back of the end zone and Auburn gets the ball on a touchback because Alabama would have had the ball first and 10 at like inside the 20. And then on the next series, Alabama has – Trent Richardson drops a touchdown pass from they were at the 3-yard line, I believe. And Alabama ends up kicking a field goal and then only kicks, you know, only gets another field goal the rest of the way. So, you know, pretty sure, and I want to get everybody's opinion on this, and I'll start with Mike now since Mike hasn't had a lot of airtime because we've been talking mostly LSU. But you foresee any kind of upset happening in the SEC Championship game on Saturday? You think it's a sure thing that Auburn's going to go ahead and take care of business and more than likely play Oregon in a BCS championship game?
I think sure thing is a tough one to say, but this is because the South Carolina team is a team that I think has grown up a lot in that time period after the Kentucky loss and then just getting really ultimately mollywopped by Arkansas at home. I think they've grown up, but no, I think Auburn's going to win. They've got this intrinsic quality. It kind of reminds me of 2002, I believe, 2002 Ohio State, a little bit of the some of that 2007 LSU that
that ability to turn it on when they have to know how many points they need and to get that many points. So I think Auburn, no matter what, they'll take South Carolina's biggest punch in the chin early in the game, and then they'll get up off the bat like they've done week after week after week and put up enough points to win.
Patrick?
I think the whole South Carolina-Auburn game is going to rely on, you know, everybody's going to say Cam Newton and everybody else, but I think it's actually going to be on Garcia, the quarterback for South Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
How he goes, South Carolina goes. You know, when he's playing well and he's on a game and he stays within his means, South Carolina can play with anybody. You know, they have the ability to play with anybody. When he starts to pull a Brett Favre and, you know, throw the ball a little wildly and stuff like that, that's when you see South Carolina lose. And it's been true this whole year, and I think that's the way it's going to play out this game. It's all going to depend on him. But I, in the end, Auburn's got more talent, and Auburn is bigger. Look at what Auburn's defense. I mean, you can talk what you want, but Auburn's defense has been pretty stout against, you know, minus the Arkansas game against SEC. You know, they've been pretty decent. They don't have
mm-hmm.
a bad defense. So I think Auburn's going to win this game, but it's really going to rely on Garcia.
Yeah, when Auburn's able to get pressure with the front four and Fairley's doing his thing, it kind of neutralizes, it kind of hides the weaknesses they have in the secondary a little bit. And that's what they did against LSU. They got pressure on Jefferson and Lee, and we couldn't exploit, you know, their weaknesses there. So, Poser, what's your gut feeling about this game?
Yeah, see, you beat me to it on the secondary. That is the weakness of the Auburn defense.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary is not very good, but you're right. They've got a great pass rush. So you have to be able to attack it quickly, and it does hinge on Garcia. Can he get the ball out? They've got a great receiver. So that hides a lot of weaknesses. I would like to say, as much as I hate Auburn, and I really do hate Auburn, I did take a lot of joy in watching a Nick Saban team choke on a 24-point lead. I mean, just because we've had to put up with so many LSU fans pining over Nick Saban, the guy who never makes a mistake and never blows a game, it was beautiful to watch him just blow that game. It really warmed up. It's the only time I've actually kind of rooted for Auburn. I meant to root for Alabama, but I couldn't do it. As it slowly unfolded, it was just too much for me to take. It brought a tear to my eye.
Yeah, I wish I could have gone to some of the Alabama message boards and blogs to see what the post game chatter was after that. I just didn't get a chance to. I was out of town. I was traveling as the game was taking place. I was on the interstate checking updates on my phone, which is, you know, I shouldn't be doing that, but yeah, anyway. And then after that, I didn't stay up for the Boise game. I woke up and I saw the highlights of that. And man, that Boise kick, I mean, missing two. I mean, basically, I mean, they were de facto extra points. I mean, they were right in the middle of the field. I mean, I think the spot was right at the 10-yard line, and you know, their BCS hopes went bye bye. And I thought Nevada would give them a game. I didn't think by any stretch of imagination Nevada would win that game.
Oh, I think that they lost. Finally, you know, let's put all of, you know, the only one left, of course, is TCU, who they're going to basically another non-BCS conference, in my opinion, in the Big East. So, hey, smart move there, TCU. Anyway, but I'm glad at least one of them lost, because then it kind of shuts everybody up about, oh, well, Boise deserves it. Well, you know what? Shut up and play a real conference. Play a schedule that's really tough for a change.
Yeah, I was actually watching the old Miami documentary again. They had it on the 30 for 30. And I was struck by how good their schedules were when they were still an independent. And if you look back on, like, who Florida State played when they were coming up, I mean, these teams played monster schedules. If you're going to play in the Mountain West, which at least is a better conference than the WAC, I don't think it's fair to lump TCU entirely in with Boise, because TCU plays a few more competent teams. They tend to play the top of the Mountain West is good. They're not great, but they're solid football teams. But if you want to make a claim for the national title, you have to beat really good teams. And as much as I admire TCU for trying to schedule, say, Oregon State, if you want to be a national title team, you have to beat top 10 teams, and they haven't played them. And I don't have a whole lot of sympathy for you. You knew Oregon State wasn't going to be a top 10 team. Boise at least got Virginia Tech, who has an argument to be in the top 10 every year. But go out there and try and schedule Ohio State. You know, go and try and schedule USC. I mean, the onus is on those teams to try and find someone to play. And this whole, they won't give us a game back, I don't care. I don't have any sympathy for you. go on the road. You play a weak schedule. You're in a weak conference. Your tough game is going to be on the road. Deal with it.
No, you've kind of alluded to my point. One of the things that gets me is they want to be treated like the big boys in terms of the level of respect that they garner, but ultimately they also want to be paid handsomely like a scrub football team, and you can't have your cake and eat it too. And I think that part goes unnoticed a lot of times when people say, well, everyone's scared to play them or nobody will give them a game. No, no one's going to give them a game for $1.2 or $1 million. We'll give you – I'll tell you what we'll do, though. We'd give you a game for $600,000 or $700,000. You come, you play, but you get that schedule. You take a $500,000 hit on the back end or on the front end, but on the back end, if you win that ball game, you make up for it with respect.
Mm-hmm. And also, like, let's compare LSU's schedule. The SEC West has 5 ranked teams. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking the entire SEC. I just mean our division. Of those, 4 of those teams have been in and out of the top 10 all year long. LSU has played 3 top 10 teams. LSU's 2 losses are to top 10 teams on the road. If you want to have people who have no sympathy for TCU and Boise, talk to LSU fans, because we play a tough, tough schedule. And, hey, we lost, and that's fair play. But don't then come whining us and say, oh, we're undefeated. Play our schedule, and then we'll talk.
Yep, I completely agree with everything everybody's saying. Boise and TCU, I've had this argument time and time again with a guy who I work with, and you know, he always brings up the mid-major thing, and you know, he talks about it, and I always explain it to him. It just doesn't make economic sense for us to play home at homes with teams like that. And you know, if they want to try to, like y'all say, the onus is on them. If they want to try to schedule some teams, you know. Try to schedule these really good teams, but you got to be able to, you know, like Mike said, you can't have your cake and eat it too. You got to be able to bend a little bit and accept the terms there if you want to start playing some of these bigger profile teams. And don't just say you want to try to schedule it, but then top up and say, oh, they don't want to play us. You know, nobody wants to go to that blue crappy field and play you on a Wednesday night. Who wants to do that? I mean, Ellis shouldn't want to do that. Nobody wants to do that. I mean, come to our stadium and play, earn your respect, you know, and maybe change the field color, maybe change your turf a little bit, and look like a legitimate team instead of some little, you know, $2, matinee freak show on a Wednesday.
I will
afternoon.
Say I like the sperm turf. Don't ask about turf. I think it's kind of funny.
I hate it. It's funny. It's hard to watch. I can't watch a game when they play at home. I really can't. It's just, it's difficult to watch. So.
Yeah, I tend to champion small schools, particularly in, like, the basketball. I love giving the little guy a chance. If there's a playoff system, I absolutely support giving the small schools automatic bids. Just so there's a mechanism for them to play on the field. But that said, if only 2 teams are going, it ain't going to be you. Until you have a field of 8 or 16 teams, you can't include these really small schools. They just don't have the resume.
Well, I think that one thing that doesn't get stated enough is the fact that no one cried for Florida State or West Virginia or Virginia Tech or Miami as they tried to build something for the future. No one cried for them. No one whined about them. And now I think you've got a culture now where people are so – there's such a sympathetic air about people that they feel bad for Boise State, and it's not fair to the little guy. When Miami was coming up and Florida State was coming up, they had to schedule everybody themselves. They didn't take paydays from Notre Dame. Miami didn't get a payday to go play at Notre Dame. Florida State wasn't getting paydays when they went and played Penn State or anybody. They went. They footed their own bill, played the school. If they won, they won. If they lost, they lost. But they came back and played, and no one was whining that they deserved more of a chance. No one complained when Virginia Tech had to schedule all these road games and the rest Thursday nighters just to get a chance to get some exposure so people would know who they were. So just, I don't understand why now there's such this contingent of folks that want to whine for Boise State when other schools have made the same climb in the last 2 or 3 decades.
Yeah, Florida State made themselves a major. They were nothing. And they went out and played, they played Alabama. They played LSU. Mm-hmm. They, They played the big boys. They played Florida and they played Miami at the time. They made themselves a major and they eventually got those games back, joined the ACC and became a big boy. I mean, we think of Florida State as being a big boy, but they're, I mean,
new power.
Yeah, it's only like 3 years on the block, and they did it themselves, and they did it by playing really, really tough games on the road. And Boise, okay, applaud for playing Virginia Tech, but that's not enough.
No, you got to play it week in and week out. I mean, really, boys, if you want to do something, try and get any non-conference game that you have, pick a different major conference and play a team from that conference every time. You know, pick a Big Ten team one time. Pick a Big 12 team. Pick a Pac-10 team or Pac-13 or whatever they're going to be. Pick a, you know, I know you don't want to come to the SEC because you're going to get beat, but or you can pick a middle-of-the-road SEC team. Okay, that's fine. You play a Mississippi State. Play somebody like that that's legitimate, you know.
And TCU has even less excuse because they're in Texas. I mean, they have ties to A&M, to Texas, to Tech. I mean, you think they can't get a series up with Texas Tech? You know, I think they can't get a game with Oklahoma State. I mean, play teams. And TCU is a little bit more of an excuse just because the Mountain West is a lot better than the WAC. But the bottom half of the Mountain West is still pretty terrible. So, and I want to champion the little guy. I really do. And when they play and they earn it, I'll be the first guy on their side. I don't think they're bad football teams. I think TCU can play with anybody in the country. The thing is they just don't have the resume. And if you have only two teams that get to go, I can't put TCU in there. And if Auburn or Oregon lose this weekend, I'm probably going to be supporting Wisconsin. And the Big Ten the Big Ten's a rough conference. I mean, that's got to count for something. And
mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, I respect TCU. I think they're a great team. I think if TCU played LSU, I mean, it's a coin flip. I'm not going to say that LSU could wipe the floor with TCU. The thing is, TCU hasn't proven it. They need to do it, and they need to do it in the regular season. You don't just get gifted a spot in the national championship game.
Well, how do you like Boise, though? They go from playing in a BCS game to the Fight for Hunger Bowl. I mean, that's a – talk about your major drop in a payout.
Yeah, well, the thing is, that was going to happen to TCU because there's only one of them was going to go to the BCS. The big winner here is TCU. They went from whatever bowl they were going to go to. I don't even know what the Mountain West champ goes to. And now all of a sudden, they're going to the Rose Bowl, and if they don't go to the Rose Bowl, they're going to go to the national championship game. That is a complete 180 just because Boise State's kicker is terrible.
Well, you think he got ran out of town or had death threats?
No, they created a Facebook page in support of him.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
about this?
Yeah.
Yeah, it didn't happen at LSU. Carnell Hatcher is currently in the witness relocation program.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of sympathy, and I made a joke about it earlier, but that Buffalo receiver, I kind of sympathized with him until he posted that thing he posted on Twitter, and now I'm just going to make fun of him like everybody else is. Did anybody see what he wrote? Everybody knows, I'm sure, what happened, right?
Yeah.
So that's just. I've seen him praise God for a lot of, you know, everybody praises God when they win. I've never seen somebody blame God for dropping a football fan.
I admire his moxie because, you know, that's actually something that's always bothered me, that no one ever says Jesus made me drop that pass. And finally, someone has. So, you know.
I didn't realize it was him a week ago who had the Why So Serious shirt. I didn't realize that was him until I was reading some articles about it and everything, and they stated that, which I thought was kind of funny. They're kind of a reference to the Joker and everything like that, and then making fun of the NFL with their, you know, all their rules and everything like that. But in any event, I don't know how you segue into picks from this, but.
I don't know, but I sure did like that fight that Andre Johnson and Mitch McCullough had over the weekend.
Was awesome.
That wasn't bad at all.
That was hardcore, man.
Yeah, I watch hockey, and I know what a hockey fight looks like, and they don't swing punches like that. Andre Johnson was upset.
He landed two good ones in the side of his head. I didn't see Colin Finnegan land one punch. All he did was jam him up high.
They only got $25,000 for that. That's the sad thing. They only got $25,000 apiece and no suspension.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
good for football.
Hey, you know, not for pansies. So, but yeah, Andre Johnson, man, he's kind of a quiet guy. I never would have thought he'd be a guy getting in a fight like that, but man, he snapped.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. Well, apparently this has been brewing between him and Cortland Finnegan for some time now.
Mm-hmm.
I think they were talking about this on ESPN. They had I think at the end of last season or two seasons ago, they players voted on the dirtiest player, and Finnegan was sixth. And his quote was, "I'm aspiring to be number one."
Well, as long as Hines is boarded in the league, he'll never be number one.
As long as who's in the league, I miss that.
Hines Ward, sorry. The guy from Baltimore has to be a little bit, has to hate on a Steeler. That's just the rules.
All right.
I guess this weekend determines who goes to the actual national championship and who's going to determine what. How many bowls are going to give out bids before the championship games come out this weekend? I mean, you know, teams are scrambling. They're going to pick it up quick.
Mm-hmm. There's some trickling out a little bit. Obviously, we saw the Texas A&M one. I think East Carolina grabbed one to go to that the military bowl or whatever it is in D.C. They're slowly trickling out because teams are snatching up with the best thing that they think they're going to get. And I think ultimately the one thing that's going to be odd to me is this Nevada and Boise State craft fight hunger and the humanitarian bowl thing. Because I don't think Nevada wants to go back. I don't think they want to go to Boise to play their bowl game.
No. No one wants to go to Boise for their bowl game.
Yeah, but after they ended this team's dream season and now they've got to go there for the bowl game, I don't think that's not a good move.
What are you going to do?
They'll take the paycheck.
Yeah.
They'll run that pistol offense and take the paycheck. They don't care if they got to play on Bluefield. I know that's a big paycheck, but it's something for them.
It's something.
You know, I was really banking on LSU winning that game against Arkansas because I was hoping that $13 million payout would probably, you know, disband the $40 game parking that they were going to charge us next year. But so much for that.
Well, you know, we got to do a further show, too, you know, well, not tonight, but, you know, on all the coaching moves that are going to happen. I mean, look, Miami fired their coach. We got a couple other guys. The rumor is, you know, I don't know what's going to happen with Rodriguez, you know, the whole deal there, Colorado, you know. So you got a bunch of coaching moves that are going to happen in the next couple of weeks as well.
And apparently Vandy's already put Gus Malzahn, so we'll see where that one goes.
Yeah, we'll see. I think I think he's going to say no to that one just for the simple fact that he's going to be able to get a better job in the next, if not during this cycle, he can definitely get a better job in the next cycle.
The thing is, what's a better job, Vanderbilt or Colorado? In a way, Vanderbilt's a better job. And Colorado's got some pretty terrible facilities. The Big 12's falling apart.
You get more exposure here in the SEC.
Yeah, I mean, you'd be the worst team in the SEC, but it's still, you know, pretty solid. You know, it's still the SEC, and people have climbed up, you know, from Vanderbilt to big gigs before. Jerry
Bernardo.
Speaking of all these coaching changes, anybody else find it comical that every time a big time college job is coming open, that John Gruden's name keeps getting mentioned? I mean, this guy can have his pick of any NFL job he wants. And everybody, every NFL, every college job, they mention him for Miami because he lives in Florida. Okay, so why not we get Jeb Bush as a candidate too? He lives in Florida. So I mean,
it's crazy.
Or he comes to visit LSU because he's got somebody down, or he's doing a game. Oh crap, he's coming to LSU. You know, it's crazy.
Trust me, he's got himself a nice job at ESPN right now. Whenever he wants an NFL job, he's going to take another NFL job. I mean, he's only in his early 40s.
And also, look, if you've been an NFL coach, there is no way you want to go back to college. Recruiting sucks. Like, to suck up to 16 and 17-year-old kids, I mean, that is just – it's a different job. Being a college coach is a lot different than being a pro coach. Gruden's a pro coach. I don't even think he'd be a successful college coach. But
Can you imagine John Gruden, the way that he shuffles quarterbacks around, cuts players, hires guys, shuffle guys in and out, him dealing with an 18- or a 19-year-old kid that he's got to count on to start a quarterback? He would make Steve Spurrier treating quarterbacks look tame. He does. He gets rid of them as soon as he's done with them.
a lot of those high-strung guys tend to have a short shelf life. I mean, for all the success Saban has had, he does not last very long at jobs. He has never lasted more than 5 years anywhere. We'll see what happens at Bama, but it takes its toll. You can only put up with that for a few years.
That's because his assistants hate him. I mean, that's it. That's not a speculation. They do not like working for the guy. It's a grind.
You like having Saban on your resume, but you don't like the experience of working for him. I mean, his assistants have gone on to great things. Do give him credit for that, but there's a reason they move on.
Yes.
So it's a little bit of both.
Yep, without question. So, Podcat, I'm going to bring you back in real quick and just let me know what you want to do. We'll go ahead and pick these games, and then we'll wrap things up here.
There's just one thing I want to get on the show, and it's really the main reason I wanted to get Mike on, because I was interested in hearing about this. After all the nonsense that happened before the first game of the season, what do you want to say about how North Carolina season's turned out and everything?
7-5, and I can't really complain. Overall, I'm pretty proud of the effort that we got. We had a lot of injuries down the stretch. I'm not sure how much you guys saw, but we turned our little our season went. We had a chance to get 8 wins, and we kind of collapsed against North Carolina State, as we've done over the last 3 or 4 years against them. But all in all, it was a season that there's a lot to be proud of. A lot of guys showed up, that a lot of older guys, guys who were seniors, guys who were redshirt seniors, that a lot of people didn't realize how good these guys could play because our young guys were better and the new kids were better. We had guys show up. Sean Drawn, who we thought was going to be our starting running back, sat out. It gave Johnny White a chance to really redeem himself from some struggles that he's had early. And he was on track to gain 1,000 yards until he broke his collarbone. And then we had to go with a guy who played fullback for us for the last 3 seasons and move him back to tailback, where he played as a freshman. And he put in some good work for us carrying the football around. But it was nice to see one of my really good close friends, Ryan Taylor, got a chance to play a lot more than just the special teams because of injuries. And he made the most of it. So it was nice, and you guys got to see T.J. Yates, and I remember doing the podcast, and I remember saying I really think he's going to be a lot better this year. He's got more experienced receivers, and I just remember everyone thinking, no, really, why? And he showed up this year. He really did, and I think it started in LSU, and it's carried all the way through for the season for him, so that was a good thing. But all in all, on the field, impressed. I think that the coach staff did a good job of keeping the guys together. Off the field, it's still a toss-up. Everything is done technically in terms of the investigation and what they found out and who's in trouble and who's not in trouble. But now you got to get the ruling. And what I'm hoping, and what I'm sure most people are hoping that are Carolina fans, is that, one, that the ruling gets pushed through February so that we can get these kids on campus, and two, that the and number two, that Butch Davis gets to keep his job, because I don't know who else you hire to pull you out of a probation other than a guy who's already been there. Granted, he was part of the reason you got put on probation. So I'm crossing my fingers for Butch. I think he's good for the program, and we'll get things together. I think our athletics department was a bit naive. But all in all, like I said, I'm happy with the season. I'm pretty impressed with the way things kind of ended up.
All right.
Good. Well, of course, because you said it and we kind of sat there in silence. I don't think any of us has really paid attention to UNC season after we played.
Yeah,
I watched a little bit just because I was always curious. And I would say the one thing that really impressed me about North Carolina was when they played us, was if you're in that game, LSU went up big in that game. And it looked like it was going to be a blowout. And North Carolina rallied and almost won it in the end. They almost stole that game. And that was something that really impressed me about North Carolina. They kind of played like that all year long. They were a team that whenever I checked on them, they never gave up on a season. They never made an excuse. This was a team that, all rights, could have packed it in, gone 3-8, and everyone would have understood. And instead, they're going to go 7-5, go to a nice bowl game. That's really impressive. And I think you guys have turned what was a really negative story and actually to a positive story. And I think Yates is kind of a symbol of that. He was a guy who really just came forth and had a great year. And Yeah, I was really impressed with Carolina, and they've kind of turned me into a little bit of a Carolina fan this year just because of how tough they played us and how they didn't give up when they had every excuse to.
Yeah, and I'm throwing Pocket under the bus because in our preseason show, I think he compared T.J. Yates to one Jared Lee from 2008.
I do believe those podcast words.
And I mean, is he Mike? And we're kind of going on a little bit, but that's cool. Is he a legitimate NFL prospect now? Was he before, or did he make himself into one with the season he's had?
With the season he's had, he'll have a shot. I talked to a couple of agents who said, "Yeah, man. I mean, if Jonathan Crompton can get drafted, this kid's gonna get a look from somebody." So
that's perfect.
I keep my fingers crossed for him, man. He'll work hard. So we'll see what happens. He's a smart kid in terms of football IQ and whatnot. So we'll see what happens. I'll be rooting for him.
And honestly, you know, in the NFL, that stuff matters more. Like football IQ, and
yeah.
I mean, everybody's got arm strength, but it doesn't matter how hard you can throw it. It's where you throw it. And
yeah.
Yates seems like he has that. If you look around the league, there's a lot of guys you never heard of in college who are starting quarterbacks. Yates seems like he can be one of those guys who, like, in 5 years, you're like, wow, where did that guy go to school? And,
yeah.
You know, he'd be playing for the Lions or something like that.
Let's get into the picks. It was pretty much a bad week for everybody who plays along on the site. The top 10 barely made it over 500 last week, it's been a pretty bad year, honestly, for everybody on this show except for Pat.
I was
so,
part of that top 10. Thank you very much with my 8-7 record.
Yeah, you were.
Hey,
it was all right. But here we go into the last week of the season, as far as the standings, we've got two folks tied for first place, and a bunch of folks within 3 or 4 points of them. So it's definitely gonna come down to these last couple games. I'm gonna go ahead and say it now. If we do end up with a tie, we're gonna have as a tiebreaker the Army Navy game, which has been moved. I forget when they did this, but it's moved to the week after this weekend for some reason. So. All by itself next weekend, so we'll use that as a tiebreaker if it comes down to it. All right, on to the picks. Let's go ahead and start. I'll go ahead and read them off if you don't mind.
What's that? You let me read them off? Is that what you said?
No, I'll read them off, unless you want to take
ahead,
it again.
No, go ahead.
All right, we'll start with the Thursday game, Arizona State at Arizona. Arizona is a 6-point favorite.
All right, we got four of us in 12 games, so I'll just go quickly, and I'm just going to say I'll take the home team and I'll give the points. I'm going to stick with the Wildcats.
I think Arizona ran out of gas. I think Arizona State pulled the upset.
Mike,
I'm going to go with the Arizona Wildcats. I think they get it together for this little rivalry game.
And Mr. Morris.
Yeah, I'll have to say with Arizona on this one, they're still fighting for a pretty decent bowl here. You know, they're fighting for bowl position, basically, with this game. So, Arizona.
All right.
All right, next up, the SEC Championship. Auburn Auburn's the road team in this one. South Carolina, they are favored by 5 over South Carolina.
What makes South Carolina the home team? Is it a coin flip?
It switches between the divisions every year.
Ah, okay. There's no all-star game to determine home field advantage. I'm just curious. So
yeah.
Shot at baseball real quick. I'm going to go with Auburn.
I see no reason to pick against Auburn right now. They're just playing great.
Yeah, I like Auburn to go ahead and cover that 5.5. So.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go Auburn, too, with the 5.5.
I'm going with Auburn just because they beat LSU, so I want LSU to look better.
Okay.
Actually, I believe the entire SEC West is rooting for Auburn just because if they lose it, it knocks everybody down a peg or two in the
exactly.
ball standings as it is.
Yep.
Florida maybe, too, because I think at this rate they're hoping to get into the Gator Bowl, so they really need South Carolina to lose this one.
And he's on a Gator Bowl with a 7-5 record. That just goes to show you there's too many freaking bowls. If a 7-5 team goes to that New Year's Day Bowl, that's just ridiculous.
Well, you got to remember the Gator Bowl used to be a home game for him.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, during the bowl projections I did over the weekend, there's a very good chance that Florida could be playing Illinois in the Gator Bowl, which would just be so hilarious.
Oh, that is so beautiful. I will root for Illinois. Oh, God, when I root for Illinois.
All right, next up, part one of the Big East Championship game, Connecticut at South Florida. South Florida is a one-point favorite. Connecticut will be the Big East champion if they win.
I'm going to go UConn.
I was riding the UConn train early in the year, but I can't really imagine a world in which UConn actually wins the Big East. So I say South Florida wins this.
I'm going UConn Huskies, Jordan Todman.
I'm going to – the game's at South Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm going with South Florida in this one.
All right. Next up, the ACC Championship game, which has a 7:45 p.m. start this year. Florida State is the road team in this one, and Virginia Tech is favored by 4.5.
You know, I like the way Florida State's kind of playing right now. I don't know if they win, but I'm going to go ahead and take that 4.5 and say Florida State covers.
Florida State looked great against Florida. They kind of looked pretty bad against Maryland. They needed a late interception to seal that game. Just because I know a lot of Hokies, I'm going to take Virginia Tech.
I'm going to take Virginia Tech, too. I think they more of a home game for them, too. It's not far from here. They're going to get big crowd turnout there. I think they'll handle Florida State.
Yeah, I'm going to take Virginia Tech, and I hope it makes Boise feel even worse because Virginia Tech wins that.
That's just a spiteful pick right there.
Yeah. And how about the ACC? The year they moved the championship game out of Florida, Florida State finally makes it back.
And honestly, they finally get the marquee matchup they wanted forever. Virginia Tech, Florida State is kind of what they were envisioning, not these, you know, Wake Forest, Boston College games.
Oh, I don't know about that. When they carry that championship game, I believe the matchup they envisioned was Florida State-Miami. I mean,
well, they did, but Virginia Tech they'd be silly if they thought Virginia Tech was going to make their share of ACC title games. They outplayed Miami for most of their time in the Big East. So,
all right, next up, definitely the oddest game on the schedule, 10:15 Friday night, Illinois, a Big Ten team playing after Thanksgiving, travels to Fresno State and is favored by just 6 points.
And I'm definitely staying up to watch this game. I'm very intrigued about what happens. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and give the point, and I'm going to take Illinois.
Yeah, I normally have a rule about never taking the team that's traveling when they're going that many time zones, but come on, it's Fresno State, and they haven't really looked that good this year. So Illinois has got to win this, right?
I'm going to go with Illinois. They got to get a better record to make sure that they can secure this game against Urban Meyer.
Oh, man, and as of right now, I'm going to go against all of y'all and pick Fresno State in this one. Just, I don't know. Didn't Illinois just get blown out or something?
Yeah, so many times.
Yeah. Which one?
You know, so therefore, there you go. They've got blown out a ton of times. I'm going with Fresno State, even though they're horrible, too.
All right, next up, the Big 12 championship game is – it's going to be the same time as the ACC title game. I'm not sure what's – oh, that's right, because the Big 12 title game is at night this year after the SEC title on CBS. Okay, that's right. That's how that works out. Nebraska on the way out against Oklahoma. If my memory serves, and, you know, I probably wouldn't pay attention this far back in college football, but isn't this a rematch of the one of the earliest Big 12 title games? Nebraska – is the road team, and Oklahoma is favored by 4.
Now, I think you're thinking Nebraska and Texas.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's one.
Way back when. in the Alamo Dome. I think we said it earlier in the season, on their way out, Nebraska was going to go ahead and win the Big 12, and I'm going to stick with that, and I'm going to say they're going to cover the 4.5 in the process.
I don't think they've ever played in a championship game, first off. And also, this is one of the reasons the Big 12 deserved to die, the fact that they killed the Nebraska-Oklahoma rivalry. I mean, that was criminal. I don't know, is Martinez still hurt?
Yes.
Yeah, I got to go with Oklahoma. They're a different team without him back there.
Oh, crap, I forgot about that. Never mind. Let me change him up there. I forgot about the other Martinez being out. No. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going OU because I don't know how healthy Martinez is going to be. He's been day-to-day, still hasn't got a full practice in yet this whole week. So I'm going to go with Oklahoma. Jeremy Beal's been on a tear playing on that defensive line.
Yeah, I was going to pick whether Martinez is playing or not. I was picking Oklahoma simply because Bo Pelini, his players are getting scared of him. He yells at him a lot. They're getting cried, but, the whole works. You haven't seen a big segment they had on that?
Yeah, no. I thought Martinez, there was a big rumor that he had left the team. I mean, that was the big internet rumor for a week.
Pelini, but I got to pick Oklahoma.
Yeah, that's kind of my thing. I don't really like coaches that go that far. You can be a disciplinarian without being a bully.
Jerk.
Yeah, you don't have to be a bully. I mean, they're kids. You're an adult. Act like it.
Yeah, send that memo to Mike Leach. A couple things I want to say about that Big 12 title game. One, I am picking Nebraska only for the reason that I want to see Dan Bebe get up on a stage and hand Tom Osborne the last Big 12 championship game trophy, which, if my memory serves, is like a giant glass bowl of some sort. And for Tom Osborne just to, like, throw it on the stage and shatter into a million pieces and just walk off.
That would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Also, the Big 12 has already announced, with that A&M going to the Cotton Bowl, that they are going to be trying to screw Nebraska as much as possible if they lose this game. They're not even going to make the Alamo Bowl if they lose this game. So Nevada's postseason is definitely riding on this one. All right, the MAC Championship, Friday night, 7 o'clock. Northern Illinois, who is ranked 25th, is the away team against Miami of Ohio, who is 8-4, and Northern Illinois is a 15-point favorite.
Man, you saw the calling here, podcast. This is two extremely physical, tough teams. I mean, Auburn and Oregon have nothing wrong with Northern Illinois. Miami of Ohio is going to bring to the table on Friday night at 7 p.m. I'm just going to go. I mean, that's a lot of points, but I think it's a lot of points for a reason, probably because Northern Illinois is probably by far the best team in that conference. So I'm going to stick with them and say they cover that and obviously win.
I'm going to pick it based on NFL alumni. Northern Illinois has Michael the Burner Turner. Miami of Ohio, of course, has Ben Roethlisberger. So I'm going to forego the easy rape joke, but still take Ben Roethlisberger's Miami of Ohio to cover that really big spread.
I'm going Northern Illinois. I think they're just a better football team.
I'm going to go with Miami of Ohio. This is going to make their
Pat, there's something you should know. This game is going to be on Ford Field in Detroit, so it's artificial turf. I know you need that.
I can change it. Wait up.
Northern Illinois is a lot faster on turf. I'm still going to stay with Miami of Ohio.
Lots of video Pat has watched to make that pick.
We've had him locked in the video room as he's broken down film.
Roger
Walsh
has nothing on Patrick Morris.
Who's ahead? You think I'm working during the day. I just allocate and watch film.
All right. We'd like to see that.
That's how you do it. All right, next up, Oregon at Oregon State. They are a 15-point favorite, and Oregon State got shut out last weekend at Stanford. Oh, that was a horrible game to see highlights of.
Like, Oregon's just kind of – I mean, they had the close call against Cal, but they just kind of just seemed like they like to play with teams for a little while. Like, they did it against Arizona. They were like, hey, you can have some fun. You're beating us on our home field at halftime. Then they just came out and they scored like four touchdowns in 10 seconds. It was ridiculous. That's actually one game I did sit up and watch the other night. So it was, I think, it was just unbelievable how quickly they can score. I mean, so I think this is going to be the same kind of thing. They're going to toy around with Oregon State. They're in Corvallis, so Oregon State's going to come out with a little bit more of emotion, you know, maybe take an early lead, but Oregon's just going to trample them, steamroll them at the end. And give me Oregon in the 15.5.
Oregon State's missing a Rogers brother, which, I mean, completely changes that team. And secondly, Oregon, you're right. They kind of sleepwalk through some games, and they kind of toy with teams. They hate Oregon State. They're not going to sleepwalk through this one. They're going to have their full attention, and they're going to try and humiliate Oregon State because that's what Oregon does. I don't even think Oregon State's going to take an early lead. I think Oregon is going to win this, and they're going to win it by a lot.
I'm in 100% agreement with you. I think they are going to blow them out and make it look horrible.
Yeah, I'll have to take Oregon in this one. Oregon State, isn't there a revenge factor from last year or year before anyway?
There's always a revenge factor. They remember games for years. I mean, it's a very underrated rivalry. These schools hate each other.
The only thing that could make this game close, only thing that possibly could make it close would be a weather factor.
Oh yeah, a little bit of that Corvallis fog rolling in sometime in the third quarter. That would make it interesting.
No, because Oregon's zone read is still going to kill them, because then Oregon State won't know who to tackle. I don't want to say there's no way Oregon State wins this game, because there's always a chance, but really, Oregon, I think, wants to put up a Wisconsin kind of score, because I think they're kind of getting ticked that Wisconsin's getting all that pub for blowing teams out. I think Oregon's aiming for 70.
Sounds about right. All right, part two of the Big East Championship. If UConn loses, Pittsburgh is the – no, I'm sorry. If UConn loses and West Virginia loses, Pittsburgh, with a win at 6-5, will be the Big East champion. They are playing at Cincinnati, and it's a pick 'em.
Can we just go to 6 automatic qualifiers instead of 7? No, I mean 5 instead of 6. This is ridiculous. This is kind of like – this is the college version of the NFC West, really not deserving to send anybody to the playoffs in the NFL. I mean, this is bad. With that being said, Cincinnati is really bad this year. Pittsburgh isn't much better, but they're a half a point better than Cincinnati, so they win about 3, I don't know, 5-2, something like that. Who knows? So,
I don't think this game actually has any business being a pick 'em. I think Pittsburgh is going to beat them by at least a touchdown and probably more.
I'm going to roll with Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I'm going to pick for podcasts on a stash and go with the Juan stash.
Yeah, the Juan stash. All right. Next up, if that was part three of the Big East Championship, this is part two. West Virginia will win the Big East if UConn loses, and they win. They are home against 4-7 Rutgers and a 20-point favorite.
Give me the Mountaineers.
I don't think they're going to cover the 20-point spread, but I do think UConn's going to lose, and I think West Virginia's going to win, and they are going to go to a BCS bowl, and we're not.
Oh, man, that would suck so much.
I'm going to go. I think West Virginia wins, and I think they cover.
Oh, shoot. I'm going to go with West Virginia to cover.
All right. And about those two, the Pittsburgh and West Virginia games are at noon on Saturday. The Connecticut South Florida games all the way at 8. So they'll both be doing some scoreboard watching on that one.
Lots of lag, man. What am I going to do in between games there?
I am going to stay up for that one. I mean,
I'm
going to
be on pins and needles.
Forget the Big 12 championship game. I am locked into UConn football.
That's right. All right, Nick. Also at noon on Saturday, the CUSA championship. Southern Methodist, back from the dead, is at Central Florida. And Central Florida is a 9-point favorite.
I will take Southern Methodist to cover. So I will take Southern Methodist in the points.
SMU is sort of backed into this championship game. They're not a very good football team. I mean, I know you don't have to be that good to win CUSA, but they're kind of disappointing. I think they're going to find a way to lose this game. I'm going to take Central Florida to cover.
I'm going to take Central Florida. I think they stumbled in the middle of the season. I think they're right. They're hitting their stride again.
I'm going to take Central Florida just simply because I've seen part of two of their games, and I haven't seen any SMU games. So Central Florida is my book.
Thank your lucky stars you haven't watched SMU football this year. It's bad.
I got to correct you there, Pat. You did see a Southern Methodist football game this year.
Did I?
Yeah, at Mr. Gaddy's, remember?
it was
that game where they were kind of close with TCU for like a quarter.
My bad. I didn't even know I was watching them.
That man's got memory.
Yeah.
But that's what
to know who was on TV at Mr. Gaddy's that night is just beyond me because all I was worried about was eating. So,
but ask him who the quarterback for LSU was.
Tommy Casanova.
Yeah. All right. Last game on the docket, Southern Cal at UCLA. Let's see. Southern Cal is a 7-point favorite.
Yeah, give me the fighting. Give me the fighting Kiffins.
Yeah, Southern Cal has very quietly turned in a pretty good season. Just off the radar, I think they're going to beat UCLA going away.
They're going to get to 8-5 with a win here. I'm rolling with the Trojans.
I'm going to go with UCLA in this game. I just don't care to pick USC. And that's the only reason why.
That's a good enough reason.
Pretty much. All right, that's going to do that. Long-winded pick'em for this week, but we had 4 guests in 12 games, so that's all right, though. Pretty much, you're going to listen anyway because you want insight like none other, and you're going to get it here from us. So, with all that being said, that will wrap it up. Thanks to Michael for coming back and being with us on the show again. Definitely going to hook up with you in the future again, man. We appreciate you coming on and hanging with us again.
I have a good time every time I've been on, man. Looking forward to it.
No question. And, Poza, back from the dead, back from surgery. His Rangers lost the World Series, but I think he's still doing okay. He's as opinionated as ever, so thanks to Poza as well.
Just happy to make the World Series, and if they're going to lose, at least they lost to an LSU pitcher.
That's right, with a crazy black beard. And I guess I'll thank Patrick, too.
You won't be thanking me tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm sure I will. So. And always, podcast behind the scenes, pushing the buttons. We have a special weekend coming up. I don't know exactly how we're going to do this, but it's going to get done. Because based on my work schedule, we definitely want to do a live webcam podcast of this. Before the season started, as many people may know, I don't know if Michael knows, I actually don't even know if Poser knows, we stated in our preseason show one of us, Marvin, who joins us on Saturdays in our streaming live shows, said that South Carolina will win the SEC East. We have all, of course, said he was nuts. Podcast went so far as to say he would shave his beard the day of the SEC championship game. Well, guess what? South Carolina won the East, and we're shaving Podcast's beard. And I said I would shave my head bald, but I'm not doing that because I have a big scar on the side of my head. I really don't want to scare the kids anymore. They're already scared. So I'm willing to go number 2 crew cut all the way around in support of what I said, too, because I was pretty definitive in saying I was going to shave my head bald as well. I didn't state like you did, Podcast, but we're holding you to it, but I'm not gonna cop out either. I'm not shaving it bald, but I will shave my head all the way around in support of you, too. But we're definitely going to get the beard shaving on webcam some sort of way. I don't know if we're going to stream it live or we're just going to post it. To the website at a later date, but definitely going to be some commentary on that as we it's either going to be after the SEC championship game or right before it. So, but it's going to be done on Saturday. So look for that on our website in the near future. Just a little show and site announcement. After that, as far as another show, I'm sure you once they announce what bowl game we're going to, and we'll do another show then previewing that game and then. Talk about that game after
firings
it happens.
Of coaches, yeah.
Well, let's hope that happens. That's kind of one thing we didn't really get into tonight, and we could talk for another hour about that, but we're not going to. As always, when you listen to this show, keep an ear to or keep an eye to the website, follow the blogs, follow the podcast, follow posts. There are always information, especially about recruiting this time of year, because we're really getting to the big stretch of recruiting. Signing day is only, I mean, it's only 3 months away in February, so that could be a big deal. Bowl announcements are trickling in. I imagine they're going to make LSU's announcement probably Sunday. None of the other stuff happens, so we'll see where we end up. But thanks to everybody for being on the show. I am Kerry Muntz. This has been the Go Show. And in lieu of what happened on Saturday, I still got to say, as always, Go Tigers.